Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
All right, now joining us here on Thursday Night Tailgate, making his 10th appearance with us on the show, is super agent, author, teacher, and TNT Hall of Famer Lee Steinberg. There isn't a bigger name or a more influential person or a better person in the world of sports than Lee Steinberg. He is a member of our 2015 TNT Hall of Fame class, and we're excited to have him back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Lee, Chris and Bob here. How are you, my friend?
Hi, Chris. Hi, Bob. Doing great. I got my Thursday Night Tailgate Hall of Fame bat sitting right up against the wall to protect me from all marauders, and I couldn't be more delighted than to spend some time with you.
Ah, we appreciate that very much, Lee. So it's been a little while. Catch us up. How are things with you in Steinberg Sports?
Things are great. We've got a brand new series of educational programs for anyone that's interested in getting involved in the world of sports. Of course, we've been doing the agent academies with my partner Chris Cabot for a series of years, and we'll do one again in Los Angeles, and that's to teach the base skills, how to negotiate, how to recruit, how to brand, how to market, how to set up a charitable foundation, listening skills for people that are interested in being an agent. And then we have sports career conferences. We just did one in Dallas, and that's getting experts in sports media and sports marketing, people who run teams or leagues or athletic departments, people who are into new technology, and it's sort of a way to view every area professionally, and especially for young people or people out there who would want a career, they get to see that. And then we have a great online education program coming with experts in every field, and people can take that and take a course, and you can look for all that at SteinbergSports.com under education. And then we had another draft class. Ronald Jones sort of highlighted it, the USC running back. We had four quarterbacks that ended up with teams, Logan Woodside at Cincinnati and Nick Schimonek at the L.A. Chargers, and Chase Slidden at Tampa Bay, and Riley Ferguson. Chase Slidden at Kansas City and Riley Ferguson at Tampa Bay, and then a running back, Jeffrey Wilson, who went to San Francisco. So they're mostly off at mini camps and having their first taste of pro football.
Lee, you mentioned a moment ago Ronald Jones out of USC. The Bucs drafted him in the second round. What are your expectations for him this coming season?
I think what will happen is that he's got a very good chance to start. Had he not had a pulled hamstring, he could have run the 40 that would have been more normal for him, which would have been in the 4.3s. As it was, he ran a 4.48, trying gamely to showcase for the scouts. But the point is, he's so fast. And he's a home run threat, really, on every down. So I think you'll see him, I would hope, not to be presumptuous, but I think he'll end up being the starter for Tampa Bay and have a long, illustrious career. If anyone who watched him, he gained 1,550 yards this last season for SC and can be a workhorse, but on any given play, he can just break it up the field, and he's so fast, they won't catch him.
And Lee, how excited are you for Pat Mahomes, and how excited is he to take over now as a starting quarterback there in Kansas City?
From the beginning, it was a marriage made in heaven, and it was exactly the ideal place for him to go, because you've got stable and farsighted ownership in Clark Hunt and the Hunt family. Then you have a great front office with Brett Veach, and then you have probably one of the greatest coaches ever in Andy Reid, and he's got experience in bringing along, you know, quarterbacks like Brett Favre, and then a really good team around him. So, and then he had the chance to learn from Alex Smith, who was a very good quarterback, and who was very kind to him and mentored him. So it's all set up. Now, he's a rookie quarterback. He's not the second coming. But he can do things with the football that I've rarely seen. And, you know, I've represented three quarterbacks who are in the Hall of Fame, and Troy Aikman and Steve Young and Warren Moon, and a number of excellent starting quarterbacks. But he has, first of all, understands the work ethic, because his father pitched for over 10 years in the major league. And his godfather, who was really part of the family, pitched for some 20 years in the majors. So he grew up watching Derek Jeter and A-Rod and seeing the sweat and the pain and knowing the focus you need. And very bright. And he got a whole year to learn. And so I think he'll end up creating some exciting moments. And over time, I think he'll be a dominating quarterback.
Bob, questions for Lee?
Lee, we've talked in the past about how you kind of insist on your clients being very generous with their time or being very charitable, obviously. Have you ever come across, Lee, or had clients that really didn't buy into it totally, or somebody that you really had to educate the importance of that to?
Since players coming off the college campus have a myriad of choices as to who will represent them, I once had a running back, and I described retracing his roots to the high school, collegiate, and professional communities and setting up charitable and community programs. And he looked at me and he said, "Lee, I'm my own charity." And he ran the fastest 40 out of my office that has ever been recorded. So there are athletes that don't have the interest or maturity, you know, at 20 or 21 years of age to be interested. But first of all, they've got this power as role models to really trigger imitative behavior and change lives. Second of all, it just makes good sense to root yourself into the high school community. And then at the collegiate level, those alums primarily relate to their college through the football or basketball program. So you've got mentors for life there. And then at the pro level, find the leading political figures, community leaders, and business leaders, all of whom will sit on an advisory board. So if you're doing it right, you're making a real impact on a problem that bothers the athlete, but also the movers and shakers in that town are helping you. So it's a smooth transition into second career.
And Lee, you had mentioned a guy like Ronald Jones, and you have a couple clients that are going to be starting in the pros. And doing what you do as an agent, do you have a lot of input, Lee, into their other things that they need? I'm talking perhaps strength coaches, guys that you work with that get them prepared off the field. Do you do a lot of that?
So basically every college player now goes off in the month of January and the month of February and is trained. So we've been able to evaluate the best trainers in terms of strength and speed and coordination and flexibility by watching them work with our athletes over time. And nutrition is now a real science. It's not like the old days where training table had these big gray slabs of beef. It's a real science in terms of knowing what nutrients will power energy and what will make the body work most efficiently. And so the athletes get great nutrition. They get advanced methods of training. It makes them bigger, stronger, faster. And then part of the protocol is trying to prevent injury and doing those things in terms of stretching, hydration that will keep them healthy. And so we're always looking for the next new treatment, the next new way to keep the body healthy.
Lee, I want to switch gears a little bit and get your thoughts on Paxton Lynch. His future in Denver, now that they've signed Case Keenum and they've also got Chad Kelly on the roster, what do you think his opportunity is to, whether it's still be on track to one day be the starter or showcase his talents maybe for somebody else?
I still think that Paxton will be an outstanding starting quarterback in the NFL. He really has not been afforded the chances yet, enough games one after the other, to get a rhythm going and to be able to master the on-the-field performance. So he got two games separated his rookie year, and he had two games separated this last year. To be a quality starting quarterback, the player needs to be able to see the field, have it slow down, see what they did in game one, and they go right back in game two and use some of what they learned, and then go right back in game three. He hasn't had that yet. So he still is gifted with a really strong arm, escapability, which you won't see in a person his size. And I believe he'll be competitive this summer. We know they signed an outstanding veteran quarterback, but Paxton tends to go in and compete. He still sees himself as a starting quarterback and certainly hasn't given up on his dream of starting in the NFL.
Will you also represent two of the Packers running backs, and Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams? Aaron Jones had a couple of 125-plus yard games last season. Jamal Williams got double-digit carries in each game, throughout the second half of last season. Do you expect that they're both going to get an opportunity to compete with Ty Montgomery for carries this year in Green Bay?
Well, I'm not sure that Montgomery will actually play running back. He may well be a wide receiver. I think they pretty well established themselves as the backs of the future. I mean, it was ironic. We only had two running backs as draftees last year. So they go in the 2017 draft, one of them goes in the fourth round to Green Bay. So what are the actuarial odds that we would have only two running backs, and then the second one goes in the fifth round to Green Bay, back-to-back players to the same team at the same position? And then when Montgomery goes down, Jamal Williams comes in, and he's a starter, and he goes down, and Aaron Jones is a starter, and both of them played really well. So I think they sort of have their tandem of thunder and lightning for a long time now, and I expect that they'll be the starters.
Lee, last week we started to hear, and I've read a couple of articles, that the league may actually allow teams to decide if players are going to, will stand for the national anthem next season. Is that something you're hearing? Is that something that could actually take place where the league sort of steps back and like, hey, it's not us. These are team decisions.
I mean, part of the problem with the whole controversy is that the minute it started to be politicized and the minute it started to be conflated with the lack of respect for the flag or the armed services or the rest of it, then the impact was really lost. I always thought the right way to go is to get owners to be willing to attack the root problems that the players were concerned with. So maybe fund prenatal care or fund early education or fund job placement or fund a forum for better relations between police and people in the community. I mean, that was the goal. You don't just keep protesting over and over again. Symbolically, it's to achieve something, a tangible goal. So once the president made it a political issue, then it gets all completely embattled. And and when they asked fans last year what was the main reason that they were watching less football or going to less games, the main reason was the protests. So I support players being involved politically. I think there are many ways that they can do it. I back the players, but I think that, you know, it's probably time for new tactics.
Bob Morferly?
Lee, I want to take you back. We always talked about your background in political science and obviously law and how you got to where you are today. But growing up in L.A., I wanted to know, as far as you had to have an interest in sports, I would think, to do what you're continuing to do now. How about yourself as a participant when you were younger, Lee? And tell us some of your favorite players, favorite teams back in the L.A. days.
So growing up in Los Angeles, my father was a two-sport athlete at UCLA, so I was brought up as a Bruin baby and rooted for UCLA football and UCLA basketball. And the team that moved in 1958 was the Dodgers, and we just immediately fell in love with them. They had a pitcher, Sandy Koufax, who, among other things, was Jewish, and didn't pitch on Yom Kippur. So he was my all-time idol. I still have a bunch of memorabilia. And they had a base stealer, Maury Wills. And so I loved strikeouts and stolen bases. So I just fell in love with the Dodgers, also with the Angels. But the Lakers, when I was a kid, had Elgin Baylor, Jerry West, and Wilt Chamberlain. So there were so many stars to root for in Los Angeles. And so I became a baseball fan. And then the Rams, they had one great quarterback after another, from Norm Van Brocklin to Buddy Ryan, to Frank Ryan. And they had a wide receiver named Crazy Legs Hirsch. And my father took us to the Coliseum, and they had a running back, John Avnet. And he ran for 100 yards. So I fell in love with sports. My dad was a big sports fan. I've passed that on to my kids. We were brought up to hate the Yankees and love the Dodgers.
And you, we've also kind of mentioned, for the people that are interested in kind of getting into your field, Lee, the way about going about that as far as education. You had a law background. Is there any other career path that you could recommend, say, for a kid coming out of high school looking for a college major?
So I always tell people that the most important skill set to learn is psychology. If you can learn how to draw out another human being and to get into their heart and mind, to cut below the surface and to see the world the way they see it, to understand their deepest anxieties and fears and their greatest hopes and dreams, then you can navigate your way through life. So everything you would ever do in sports is related to other people. So a keen understanding of psychology is critical. And then business, because many of us don't have business backgrounds. But again, if you go to our website, SteinbergSports.com, we've got those three different programs that can help people. And in my book, The Agent, 30 years of making deals and changing the game, is still available on Amazon. So there's different things to read. Bring a sterling work ethic, because this field is not for the faint of heart. And then have some vision about how your involvement in sports will make it sports better, and then will make the world better.
Lee, before we let you go, on top of your website, let folks know, how can they stay up to date with all the things you're doing and follow you on social media?
I tweet at Lee Steinberg. We have a website, which is SteinbergSports.com, and it lays out all of our activities, and people can follow us on that.
Well, Lee, Bob and I always love having you as part of the show. You're absolutely one of our all-time favorites. Thank you again for all your support. It means a great deal to us.
Well, you have a great show, and everyone should listen, and thanks for having me.
Thank you, Lee.
Lee, take care. We'll catch up with you again. In between now and then, all the best to you and your family.